You're listening to the WFYI Weekly News Podcast for the week of Monday, December 7th through Friday, December 11th, 2015. I'm Christopher Ayers. This week, Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard ponders life after city government.
You know, things happen sometimes, right? Things happen and you never really know what's going to happen.
Medicaid recipients in Indiana find a high-priced medication hard to come by.
We are talking about drugs that might prevent Medicaid from having to deal with treatment for liver cancer.
And the latest installment of State Impact Indiana's series on first-year teachers. Those stories are coming up. Please stay tuned. In just a few short weeks, Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard will join the ranks of Lugar, Hudnut, Goldsmith, and Peterson as a former mayor of the state's largest city. 90.1 WFYI's Ryan Delaney reports on Ballard's time in office and what the mayor plans to do next.
Two terms were enough for Greg Ballard, and he announced last year he wasn't going to run for re-election. He says he needs a break to mentally recharge.
I could not have been the mayor for another 4 years at the pace that I was doing it. I knew I couldn't do that, and I just thought that was cheating the citizen if I had got elected and just couldn't keep it up.
So what will the mayor remember of his time? He says it's the people he met who are doing good things. Ballard still has a memory of a woman living on the near west side he came across. If a neighborhood kid showed her a good report card, they'd get rewarded with a few bucks.
She did that for years and years and years and years. Nobody knew it. I knew it. I finally found out about it. But that's the sort of thing that is kind of remarkable in the city.
How will residents remember Ballard? Director of the University of Indianapolis's Mayoral Institute, Ted Franz, says that's the big question.
I think most people, again, when they look back and want to have an image of what his leadership meant, will likely look to RFRA in March when he really seemed to find a voice.
Ballard is a moderate Republican. His opposition to the state party this spring over the religious freedom law earned him national news coverage, including on NPR's Morning Edition.
Mayor of Indianapolis is Greg Ballard, and he's on the line now. Mayor Ballard, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what's wrong with this law?
Well, you can see the controversy.
For Ballard's affirmation that Indy should be welcoming, he was anointed the Grand Marshal of the Indy Pride Parade. He's preached that his party needs to be more inclusive in order to win in urban areas. Ballard ascended to the 25th floor of the city-county building just as the economy sank. He had to shepherd a city budget during a massive housing collapse. He continued to focus on downtown development. A reward was Indy hosting the Super Bowl in 2012, a pinnacle on Indy's long hike to be known as a sports town. He also got to cut the ribbon on the cultural trail. The bike and recreation path looping downtown has led to soaring property values in the neighborhoods ringing the central business district.
You know, when we look back in 10 years, we will recognize how important the creation of something that might seem particularly small could be.
But Republicans like Ballard have become a minority in Marion County over the past two decades. Democrats now control much of city government. Liberal dominance raises the question of whether a Republican will win a countywide seat again or if Ballard will be the last GOP mayor of this city. Paul Helmke, a former Republican mayor of Fort Wayne and now an IU government professor, says that assumption may be premature.
At the local level, people make decisions on who they think is going to do the best job, and that's going to be a Republican sometime and it's going to be a Democrat sometime.
Helmke says Ballard was well-liked and would have had a good chance at winning a third term. And when you're still popular, it's hard to walk away from a mayor's office. Ballard's popular enough for his name to be suggested as a candidate for governor. He'd be a more moderate choice to Governor Mike Pence. But such a challenge is unlikely. Remember, Ballard says he needs a break from politics, and there's little time to mount a primary campaign. He declines to completely rule out running, though.
You know, I have no intention of doing that, but you know, things happen sometimes, right? Things happen, and you never really know what's going to happen.
During his last years as mayor, he brought an all-electric car sharing service to Indy and signed a contract to begin converting city vehicles to electric power. He's currently writing a book on clean transportation. Ballard says that has led to recruitment by universities and water and energy firms. This focus on energy security has been a slow realization since his time as a U.S. Marine in the first Gulf War a quarter century ago.
I did not have an aha moment in the Gulf War in 1991 when I was over there. I mean, it wasn't like that because the transportation wasn't at a certain point where we could change.
Joe Hogsett, a Democrat, will become mayor on January 1st. he's promised to not roll back the Ballard years. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Ryan Delaney.
More than 3 million people in the United States are infected with hepatitis C. It's a virus that can destroy the liver and even cause liver cancer. The number of cases is increasing, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and most new cases are due to intravenous drug abuse. In the last few years, however, new drugs have come on the market that can cure hepatitis C with a more than 90% success rate. But as Side Effects Public Media's Jake Harper reports, some Medicaid recipients are finding that getting the cure can be difficult.
Sarah Jackson had quit abusing drugs and was sober for 6 months when she found out she had hepatitis C. It was a shock.
Yeah, that was weeks of not sleeping and just constant tears. I had already put a lot of that behind me and had been moving forward with my life. And this was just a major setback, emotionally, mostly.
It had taken her a decade to get clean. She started abusing pills after an injury and eventually progressed to heroin. But she was newly focused on starting her career and on being a mom for her kids. To get rid of the infection, her doctor prescribed Harvoni, one of the new Hep C drugs. But Jackson never started the treatment because Medicaid wouldn't pay for it.
I cried and I thought, oh, well, that's it. There's nowhere else to go. You know, what else can I do? You know, the doctor tried and now I've no other place to turn.
New hepatitis C medications are famously expensive. A full course of Harvoni costs almost $100,000. Because of that, a lot of state Medicaid programs put restrictions on the medication. Indiana was one of them. Currently, the drugs aren't covered when the disease is in its early stages. They're only available when you already have advanced liver damage, or if you've gotten a liver transplant or have HIV. This means people like Sarah Jackson have to wait and worry while things get worse, or take the issue to court.
When something is medically necessary, it's medically necessary and must be covered by Medicaid.
Gavin Rose is an attorney for the ACLU of Indiana. He recently filed a class action lawsuit with Jackson to try to get the restrictions lifted. Rose argues that if a doctor says you need the drug, the law requires Medicaid to pay for it. Not only that, but treating early would keep the virus from spreading to other people and actually save money in the long run.
We are talking about drugs that might prevent Medicaid from having to deal sometime in the future with treatment for liver cancer, with treatment for liver transplants.
It is just not feasible to provide it to everyone.
Matt Salo heads the National Association of Medicaid Directors. He says state Medicaid programs have tight budgets. They can negotiate with manufacturers to get lower prices on medications, but even if they could cut prices in half, Salo says treating everyone with Hep C would still cost too much.
States have to make sure that we are going to prioritize and that those who need it the most get priority treatment. And that's what you're seeing.
There seems to be consensus that the new drugs for Hep C are too expensive. But Gilead Sciences, the company that makes Harvoni and another popular treatment, is not likely to lower prices. A new drug is set to come to market next year, and there's hope that the competition will bring prices down. In the meantime, Sarah Jackson will wait for her lawsuit to get resolved. She says being involved in the suit is a constant reminder of the time she spent addicted to drugs.
So this is weighing over me every day, you know. To have been clean for over a year right now and still be thinking about this, now having to go through this fight, it's all, I have to go back. I have to dig it back up again. I wish this wasn't having to happen.
But despite the anxiety it's causing, she's willing to go through it in order to help others like her who need the treatment. Jake Harper, Side Effects Public Media.
This story was produced by Side Effects Public Media, a health reporting initiative based at WFYI in Indianapolis. Starting a new job, especially your first job, can be one of the toughest transitions anyone can make. And for anyone going through such a change, a support system can help. That's why a group of education leaders in the state, led by State Superintendent Glenda Ritz, suggested lawmakers create a statewide mentoring program for new teachers. State Impact Indiana's Claire McInerney has been following a group of first-year teachers for a series she's calling The First Year. In this installment, she asked them to explain how their support systems, both in and outside of the classroom, have been critical to their surviving this first semester.
In a year of firsts, Sarah Draper's first day off from teaching at Helmsburg Elementary in Brown County was memorable. She and her husband, Benjamin, took the day off because
we were going to a wedding
in Louisville, a few hours away.
Right away when I woke up, and I was thinking about what I would be doing right now if I was going to school.
We woke up a little bit later, so, you know, she was already, like, waking up at the time that they were doing something already.
And Ben was making fun of me because I would, like, look at my watch, like, oh, they should be going to lunch now. Like, oh, they're in social studies. And I was like, I hope they're doing okay.
I actually didn't really realize that, like, they had a set schedule.
I mean, I was just obsessing. It was really bad.
I thought it was kind of endearing. I didn't.
This is more than just a charming story about a couple on a road trip. It's a really important moment in Sarah's development as a new teacher.
I think a big piece of it for a teacher's support system, particularly at home, is helping them to keep those boundaries.
Robert Koonsman trains future teachers at IU School of Education. He says while Draper obsessed about leaving her students for the first time, having Benjamin around to reassure her is good for her perspective. Benjamin not only encourages her to walk away from work when need be, but helps her cope with the tough days that happen for every new teacher.
Well, and I did have a bad day. You know, a kid in my class threw a chair, and it was just not good. And, you know, Ben's like, it's not your fault. You know, he's not... because of you that he threw the chair, you know, he was going to do it anyway. So.
While having someone at home who isn't an educator can help new teachers walk away from the stresses of the classroom, Koonsman says it's equally important to have a mentor at school with whom
they can express their confusion and uncertainty and their mistakes and get advice that is supportive, but also constructive in terms of what they can do to improve the situation.
Chris Conway has this kind of mentor in Amy Ryder, who works across the hall from him at Riverside Intermediate in Fishers.
This will be my 21st year of teaching school.
Conway and Ryder share a class of fifth graders. He teaches math and science. She teaches language arts and social studies. They share a lot of teaching duties, but split things up based on strengths and weaknesses. One thing Conway leaves to Ryder...
the girl drama, like how do you deal with girl drama? And that is one thing that Amy has definitely been, she deals a lot better with that than I do. So.
Since the day he was hired, Conway says Ryder has walked him through everything. She helped set up his classroom, planned a shared Meet the Teacher Night event, and took the lead during parent-teacher conferences. But more than that, she's helped him find a work-life balance and a steady rhythm in the fast pace of life as a new teacher.
You jump in with 2 feet, and you really have, it's like a race. You got to pace yourself, Chris.
Do you worry about it?
So, no, I don't. He's gonna make it.
But peer interaction can sometimes be tough. Sarah Draper regularly communicates with a group of former classmates and other first-year teachers, some of whom are struggling so much that they share news about looking for other jobs. And she says hearing that can be troubling.
I think it makes me reconsider sometimes. I just try to let them know also that, like, kind of like Ben does for me, it's not the end of the world. It's, you know, it's okay. We all have bad days. Like, sometimes I leave crying, but we all have bad days, so. You're crying to me.
But on good days, all Sarah needs is enjoying some of the other firsts happening in her life.
Make pork chops every week. That was, like, the first time we've ever had that as a couple.
Yeah.
In 5 years. But they were really good. I don't know why we don't have more often.
They were good.
For State Impact Indiana, I'm Claire McInerney.
That's it for this edition of the Weekly News Podcast. You can follow us online at WFYI.org, on Twitter at WFYI News, and on Facebook, WFYI. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. You can stream it on the web at SoundCloud. Just search WFYI. This has been a production of WFYI News, produced at 90.1 WFYI Public Radio Studios in Indianapolis. I'm Christopher Ayers. Thanks for listening.